Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
That's why we call him wonder. You may not understand how it will happen, but just release your faith and worship him. Saliva la paniada, arido sopila kataya, ati teleata. The God has suspended the sun is great. He suspended the sun in vain. He suspended the moon in vain. Set the boundary for the deep. What a mighty God we serve. Will you raise your voice with us right now? Let God invite you. You are wonderful. Thank you. is an oracle of God. Everything that is standing in the way of your right, that's the palata, that the awesome power of the wonder God. That mountain is being uprooted right now. I tell you, anything is possible. Everything is possible. Hey! My God can do anything, anytime, anywhere, anyhow, it's you to do it. Hey! My God can do anything, anytime, anywhere, anyhow, it's you to do it. Hiya! I said, my God can do anything, anytime, anyhow, anywhere, you choose to do it. It doesn't matter where you are. Asalatahada. My God can do anything, anytime, anywhere, anyhow, you choose to do it. You don't need to understand it. Hiya! Hey! He can do it anytime. He can do it anyhow. He can do it anytime, anywhere. He comes to do it. Hey! He can do it anytime. He can do it anywhere. He can do it anyhow, anyhow. He comes to do it. He can do it anywhere. He can do it anytime. He can do it anyhow, anywhere. He's sure to do it. Salabalada. He can do anything, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. He's sure to do it. Ay, 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 ay. He can do anything, anytime, anywhere, anyhow, it's all to do it. Say anything, anywhere, anytime, anyhow, it's all to do it. Fire. He can't do anything. He can't do anything anytime. Hiya! Daya Baba Lade, Nana Bozada. That word is for somebody. For somebody. Manaba. Anywhere, anyhow, it's soon to do it. Tiger!
We just praise you. We just glorify your name. We honor you, God, because you are a wonder, Lord, and wonder is your name. Oh, Father, we ask you to bless this morning. We ask for traveling mercy for Apostle Washington and Bishop Washington as they go on appointments this morning. We ask for you to watch over them as they travel today and all those that are traveling near and far. Father, we pray for those in Haiti. We pray for those all over Africa, all over the United States. Lord, we pray this morning that folk will be healed, folk will be delivered, folk will be rescued, oh God. Lord, we come against the deception of this world in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we ask you to bless this word as we release this word in the atmosphere this morning, God. We pray that someone would hear near or far and move closer to the Lord Jesus, that they would surrender their life to him, that they would give glory and honor to him in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go into the word. Father, we thank you for this morning. We ask your blessing on our eyes, ears, and our lips, God, that we might see here and speak what thus says the Lord. We ask your forgiveness. We ask your mercy and your grace. Lord, we repent for any sin, thought, word, or deed that we may have committed, known or not known, O Lord. Lord, allow us to just enter into your presence, O God. For we know in your presence is the fullness of joy, and at your right hand they are pleasures forevermore. God, we ask you to welcome us and invite us to come in, O God. We want to be close to you, Lord. We desire to get closer, Lord God, to spend our time with you. We know that you are desiring for us to come. So, Lord, we are here this morning again to worship and bow down before you, give you glory and give you honor. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to hit a couple of songs. Thank you. We're going to hit a couple of psalms here this morning, Brother Deacon, and see what the Lord is saying to us this morning. There's so much going on in the world. There's so much to pray for. There's so much to talk to the Lord about. He knows it all anyway because he sees all and he knows all. But good for us to go and talk to God on the behalf of the people. what's going on in the world. This morning we want to go into the book of Psalms, Psalms 145. We believe we're going to start in that psalm. And we're going to jump through some psalms today and see what the Lord is saying to us through these psalms. We're talking about worship, that you ought to praise the Lord while you're waiting, you ought to praise him. Talking about worshiping God, spending time with God, exalting him, magnifying his name, letting him know that you love him, that you care for him, and be genuine, because you can't fool God. You can't make a mockery of worship and praise. God knows when your worship is not real. He knows when your worship is sincere. So just give him praise and give him glory, give him honor. Hallelujah, Jesus. He'll heal your body. He'll heal your mind. He'll supply your needs. He'll meet you at your place of worship, of your sincerity, your place of sincerity and worship. He'll even forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, because that's the kind of God he is. Let's go in here, 145, Psalm 145, and let's start at verse 17. Psalm 145. Let's start at verse 17. This is a powerful psalm. You can read the whole psalm, but we just want to come in from a certain places in here as we were looking at it. Well, oh my God, let's start at verse 1. I bless the Lord. He said, I would exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. David began to exalt God. He began to let God know how much he desired to be closer to him. He's telling God he know how important praise is, worship is. So David is just singing out to God. He is just, because the psalms are really songs. They are songs. The Jewish people sing these psalms and worship to God and praise to God. So David said, he said, I will praise you every day. Yes. He said, this is a sure. He said, yes, Lord. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. Oh, my Lord. David, when he looked and he is talking to God, his praises have, praying praises is having a conversation with God. David is talking with God, and he said that no one. He said, great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. Hallelujah. If you take a measuring stick, you cannot measure the greatness of God. He is too great to be measured. You can say, well, you know, so-and-so is great. I've seen the building they built. So-and-so is great. I can see the car that they bought, they're driving, or the clothes they wear, but you can't measure God. He's too great to be measured. He's too great. Every time you look, you say, well, you think that you have understand. You can look and see there's something greater about you, oh God. Every time you look around, you can see how the trees turning. I was just looking out the other day at the trees. I tell my wife, I said, honey, look at the trees. They're so beautiful. They have a different color than they had last year. I mean, they just change. They change colors. And you look, if you take some of the pictures and you would have these pictures in your phone, and then you go back and look at the ones this year. Look at the ones this year. You said they're much different to the ones last year, because God, his beauty is forever new. His beauty is ever new. You look around and say, oh, my God, it's so beautiful. He's so wonderful. He is so marvelous. Oh, my God, majestic is his name in all the earth. We ascribe greatness to his name, for he is worthy, and all his works are new. Oh, my God, I just thank God. David began to sing to God. He began to sing because this is a song. The psalms are songs. They're songs. And David's singing to the Lord and telling God how beautiful, how great he is. But let's get back into this psalm. And he says, let each generation, verse 4, let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. See, we ought to be telling the truth. I talked about this in the sermon. We ought to tell the children about who God is, what he has done. But today, the kids, they don't know anything about God. They're into TikTok. They're into Twitter. They're into Instagram. They're into Facebook. They're texting and all this stuff. They're sending email. They're doing all these things that do not glorify God, do not Raise them up closer. Hallelujah. Don't give them the strength that they need. They believe that they get everything because they went to university. They went to college and they have degrees. They have BAs and MAs and PhDs. They think that that's it. But they forget God is the one who gave them the wisdom to get the PhD or the BA or whatever degree they have, doctorate degree. Hallelujah. They forget that it's God. Hallelujah. Even these folks that come up and they become billionaires or millionaires because they're so smart, they're so cunning, they're so tricky, and they trick their way into financial situations, you know. They know how to con their way into certain situations to make money. And when they get all the money, they think they got it all, but then they realize there's something missing. I was listening to a movie star, the guy who plays, he played a Grinch. He plays the Grinch, can't remember his name, but anyhow, you all remember him. I don't watch a lot of them shows that have a lot of stuff in it, a lot of satanic features in it. But he was saying the other day, can't remember his name, though. Oh, my Lord. Yeah. He played the Grinch, and he was talking about, he said, you know, when we get into acting because we want to get all of those nice things and all of the money and all that stuff. He began to talk. Somebody was interviewing him, and he was saying this, you know, and it was asking him about the movies and stuff that he made. And he's a very popular, he started out in comedy, and he went into movies. And he began to talk. I can't remember his name, though. And anyway, he said that, you know, when you get all the money and you get all the nice homes and the cars and all this stuff, and you can buy any kind of clothes, you can wear any kind of clothes you want to, he says, you realize that there's something missing. But I was listening to see if he was going to say that you're missing God or you're missing Jesus, the sovereign Lord, not the satanic God of this world, because, you know, Satan is the God of this world. And a lot of people, they say, well, I worship God. You've got to ask them which God, because a lot of them are worshiping Satan, the God of this world. But he said there was something missing. And right there, I was laying on the bed with my computer. I was listening to him on the station. And I said, yes, you're right. Something is missing. Jesus is missing. Yeshua is missing from your life. If you don't have him, you have all the luxurious things of the world. You're still broke. You're still empty. You're still lacking. You're lacking him, you know. So I was right, but I was in there with that. So he said, we got to tell the truth and tell each generation of his mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. I will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor and your wonderful miracles. David said, I will meditate. See, I'm going to concentrate. I'm going to spend time studying all this wonderful stuff that you have done for me, Lord. Lord, if I put everything together, I cannot count them all that you have done, all that you're doing, all that you will do for us. Hallelujah, trust in you. And David continued to exalt God. He continued to praise God. This is what this message is about today. It's all about praising God, that we ought to praise him while we are waiting to hear a good report from the doctor, while we are waiting to get a good report from the judge, from the magistrate. Oh, Lord, while we are waiting to get a good report from our wife, from our husbands, from our children, from the teacher, from the principal, while we're waiting to get a good report, hallelujah, about the trip, hallelujah, oh God, about the vacation trip, while we're waiting to get a good report about the car that you want to buy, you know, about the loan that you're expecting, you hope you get from the bank. You're praising him because you know God can make the impossible possible. What's impossible to us is possible to him. Hallelujah. Abraham said, is there anything too hard for God? Listen to what David said. He said, I will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor and your wonderful miracles. Your awe, friend, these will be on every town. I will proclaim your greatness. See, when you tell people, when you're not ashamed to tell people all the wonderful things that God has done for you, guess what happens? God does more. Hallelujah. It's just like when you have your husband or your wife, and if you say, man, you know, You're bragging on your wife. You get between the family members and the people and they come together. You say, man, but you tell your family, you say, look, man, my wife, she cooks. And when she cooks, I enjoy everything that she cooks. She just spend time. She cooks. She makes sure that she give me the best. Hallelujah. You know your wife knows she enjoy cooking for you because you're bragging on her. You're bragging. You're not going out there dissing her. Saying, but she don't know how to cook. She don't do nothing right. And you complain about her all the time. But she's not going to want to do it. Same with God. Then you brag on God and you constantly telling people how wonderful your God is. Your God wants to hear that. He wants you to brag on him. He wants you to glorify him. He wants you to exalt him. And everything that you do, he wants you to give him praise. Hallelujah. He wants you to stand up and he wants you to show out. Hallelujah. Tell them, tell the world how wonderful your God, how he saved you, how he delivered you, how he's keeping you. This is what it's all about. You're praising him. You don't always got to call a scripture from the Bible. You can just tell him the way you walk, the way you talk to people, the way you treat people. You're ministering. You're praising God. When you treat the homeless well, when you give to the poor, your hunger, and those that are naked, you buy them. You say, look, I'm going to go in my closet. I'm going to take off some suits, some pants, some shoes, and I'm going to put in my car. I'm going to put on my bike. And when I'm walking or when I'm carrying a bag and when I'm going down the street, I see them folk down there look dirty. I'm going to carry some clothes with me because when I get down there, I'm going to bless somebody. I may not know the size of the people. You may not know the size of the women down there, the little kids or the men, but you somebody going to fit in them clothes. Somebody going to be able to fit them clothes. If one person can't fit them, they might give them to somebody else. They can fit them. Just think about helping somebody else. Listen to what David says. Oh, my God. He says, everyone, verse 7, everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness. They will sing with joy about your righteousness. The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. God, Jesus, have mercy. You will have to do so much to get God angry. You remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Them people was going and going and going and going and continuously sinning. Continue sin after sin after sin after sin they were doing. They even tried to attack the men of God. Lord had to pull the men of God in the house. Then they want to have sex with the men of God. Lord was willing to give his daughters up to protect the men of God. But they said, no, we don't want them. We don't want the girls. We want the men. The men of God have to blind them, strike them with blindness so they couldn't see. Hallelujah. Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness. They will sing with joy about your righteousness. The Lord is merciful and compassionate. The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and fill of unfeeling love. See, God loves us when we don't even love ourselves. He cares for us when we don't want to pray, when we don't want to sing, when we don't want to worship, when we don't want to give him a hallelujah praise. He is still loving on us. Do you know that? He is still loving on us. The God that we serve, he is still loving on us. That's how merciful and compassionate he is. The times that we don't get it right, God is still there with us. Because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you even unto the end of time, to the day of Jesus. He said, I'll be with you. David said, the Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation. You know, even the drug dealer, the prostitute, the whoremonger. Do you know Jesus? You know that the Lord Jesus is still compassionate? You know that he still loves them? Even the homosexual, the lesbians, the murderers, you know that God still loves them? You know that he still has his hands outstretched to them? Do you know that? You know that he don't love you no more than he loved them? Because he says all souls are his. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4. He said all souls are mine. The soul that sinneth will die. So don't put yourself on a pedestal because you're preaching and teaching and singing and dancing and praying, praising God, that you're better than somebody else. You're just a stone throw from Satan deceiving you. I'm going to talk about that again. The deception is everywhere. We're going to talk about that maybe later this week. How people are being deceived by the things that Satan is bringing before them. And they're stepping into them and doing them. Why? Because they're making them feel good. But we got to praise God. We got to praise him. David went on and says, the Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation. Verse 9, verse 10 says, all of your works will thank you, Lord. And your faithfulness followers will praise you. See, when you look back at your life, I got to talk about me. When I look back at my life and I see and I can remember, I can meditate on the things that God, I can reminisce on the things that God has done for me and doing for me. I got to praise him. I don't get it right all the time. None of us do. And yet, still God is keeping us in the land of the living. We don't get it right all the time. But his compassion, his mercy, his love, his grace for us, it faileth not. The God that we serve. He says, all of your works, verse 10 again, will thank you, Lord, and your faithful followers will praise you. Verse 11 says, they will speak of the glory of your kingdom. They will give examples of your power. See, when you look back at your life, you remember when you was in the hospital, when you get up and your heart was acting strange. Your lungs was acting strange. You could hardly breathe. It felt like you was going to fall over the way your heart was beating, the pain you was feeling in your chest. Your legs feel like they were going to crumble underneath you, that they were going to buckle underneath you, and you were going to fall out. You feel weak in your limbs. Your eyes look like you had double visions. You was getting spots in your vision. You feel like you were going to lose your eyes. But God touched you. You didn't even recognize his touch. You thought that something just happened because you took two aspirins or two Excedrin or something. You thought it was that, but it was God. He touched you. That's what the Bible David says. They will speak of your glory, of the glory of your kingdom. They will give examples of your power. Because we can tell them how when we was in the crack house and how God come in by his spirit and touch us and deliver us. Maybe you didn't been in the crack house. Maybe you was in the whore house. Maybe you was a liar. You couldn't stop lying. Every other word that come out your mouth was a lie. Every other word that come out your mouth was a curse word. But God touch your tongue and clean your tongue from all unrighteous speaking. You can testify. Sometimes people say, well, I was in the church and I was assistant pastor in the church, Puerto Rican, Portuguese church, out of Brazil. And the pastor would say, when I share testimony, he would always come up behind me and say, well, thank God for Pastor Dave. But one thing I know, I can tell you, I never been through the things that he's been through. He acted like he all that. You understand? But God is so compassionate. When you testify of the things that you were doing before and how God delivered you, God always makes a way for you, helps you more, because you're testifying, you're glorifying him. So what happened is, the same pastor, he was giving money for them to raise money to get their own building, because we were renting space in a church building. You know, after the pastor this 11 o'clock service, we would come in like 3 o'clock or something, and we would start our service in the evening. With all the money we was giving him, he was stealing all the money. He didn't smoke no crack cocaine like I did. But he was stealing the money from the parishioners, from the church folk, you know. And he was sending it back to Brazil to build him a house. I understand he got a nice, real fancy house in Brazil. But he has to pay. That's his reward here on earth. When you steal from God's people, that's your reward. You're not going to get a reward when you get hit before him. The crown, you have messed up the crown. He's not going to give you a crown because you're a deceiver. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Here he says here, he says, they will tell about your mighty deeds and about the majesty and glory of your reign. Hallelujah. Oh, God is majestic. Oh, God is sovereign. He sits high and he looks low. He sees all. He knows all and he can do all. He fails not. He never fails. And this is what we can testify. I was just watching this morning. I got to turn on my computer. And there's something, a program there, or a picture or whatever you want to call it. Don't know how to determine it, but this they have this recorded on YouTube. And this Caucasian man, it seemed like he was talking to this other black man. The black man is crying. And he told the black man, the African-American person of color, he told him, he was saying that he's an atheist. The white man, the Caucasian man, is an atheist. In other words, he don't believe in no God at all. He don't believe in no God at all. He says, there's no God. If there's a God, he says, lightning will strike in 1, 2, 3. He says, lightning will strike in 1, 2, 3. When he said 1, 2, 3, lightning flashed right across the dashboard of his car. And he says, man, this is strange. This is strange. This is strange. So the black man, the African-American man, started crying because God made the atheist, the unbeliever, see for himself that he's real. He's real. God don't have to prove nothing to nobody. But sometimes God would come forth and let people that are talking negative about him see that he's real. I had a cousin. He died. He was an alcoholic. But he always used to cuss about God, cuss about negative about God. God this and God that and F you this and F you that and all this GD and GD and all this stuff, you know. And every time he got Caesar's, he'll stop asking God to save him. Don't kill him. And they have to put a spoon in his mouth to stop him from biting it. You know, when people have seizures, you have to put a spoon, a large spoon in their mouth to stop them from biting their tongue. And every time he come out the seizure, he go back buying alcohol, drinking alcohol and cussing like a drunken sailor. You know, God was still trying to save his life. I don't know if I came here when I was here in America when he died. I don't know if he ever gave his life to Christ or if he died a sinner. But God was still reach out and touch you when you were cussing on his name and cussing about him and trying to degrade him. God would do that. He said, David says, for your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You rule throughout all generations. The Lord always keep his promises. He is gracious in all he does. Listen. When God promised us something, he always keep his promise. He always keep his promise. It may not seem to happen when you want it, when we want it, when people want it. Oh, you know, people say, well, you know, everybody been praying for me. They've been praying for me. They've been praying for my son. They've been praying for my daughter. They've been praying for my aunt, my cousin. Oh, and I don't see nothing happen yet. You know, somebody praying for healing. Praying for my sister. Praying for my brother. But I don't see nothing. Well, God, let him forget about us. You know, that's what people be saying. And what God says, I heard you the first time you pray. What you got to do now is praise God. Praise him while you're waiting. That's what the message says. You got to praise him while you're waiting to see the manifestation of your wife come, your husband. You find your husband find you. You find your wife. You get the new job. You get the home that you've been praying about. You get the finances that you need to buy the new car or buy a car or build a home. You got to praise him. People can only praise him when they go to the mall and say, well, I can go to Macy's or go to Nordstrom or one of Sears or one of the stores and buy any suit, any dress, any wig that they want. They say, well, I got the money to do what I want to. I made plenty of money. You understand? I'm making big money. I can do what I want to. What is it doing for the poor? What are they giving to the widows? What are they giving to the fatherless, the motherless, the homeless? Nothing. They look down on the poor. God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And he rules throughout all generations. Don't matter what Satan is doing. Don't matter about the deception that you see in the earth. All of this promiscuous stuff that's going on. People sexing and all this stuff, stealing and killing one another. You know, they talk about the shooting. But now there's more stabbing, more murders through stabbing than shooting. Because see, people can come up behind you and stab you on your back. And keep on walking. Nobody would ever know that they stab you. While you're walking down, going to the mall, walking with a crowd, you will they'll never know that the person that passing past them and walking faster is the one who stabbed you, because they didn't hear anything. You may make a scream after you feel the knife go in your back or the ice pick, but nobody wouldn't realize, because there's no blood on that man's hand or woman's hand dropping on the ground. And they put the stuff back in their pocket and going down the road walking. That's what's happening now. Because we're living according to the word of God. We're living in evil times, perilous times, corrupt times, where the politicians are no longer speaking truth, where the judges are siding with evil. You understand? From the White House to the outhouse. Evil, corrupt. We're going to talk about that this week, later this week. Listen. He said, the Lord has the fallen, and lift those bent beneath their load. When you are carrying too much a heavy load, he said, come on to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Let's look over there. Just heard it in my spirit, not in them notes, not in my scriptures. He says, come on to me, all you that labor and have heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So the Bible says here in chapter 145 and verse 14, the Lord has the fallen and lifts those bent beneath their loads. He lifts you up when your load is too heavy for you to carry. God lifts you up. You understand? Sometimes we say, oh, I don't know how I'm going to make it. You got a heavy load on your mind. You say, I don't know how I'm going to pay my mortgage this month. I don't know how I'm going to pay my rent. How I'm going to pay my car note. How I'm going to put food on the table. We had people send us inboxing and inboxes on Messenger. Many times people inbox us and say, Apostle, I need your help. We need your help. We can't buy food for our children. We can't pay the school fees for the kids to go to school. And what we do? We're not boasting. We're boasting on Jesus. We're not boasting on us, because we can do nothing on our own. We only do what the Lord tells us to do. Somebody might say, well, he gives to this body or they give to that body. Why can't they send me some? But God didn't tell me to give you some because you ran the game. You're trying to run a game on the church. And God knows when you're trying to run a game. You're trying to run a game on the church. But if you're truthful, you know, so I can call him up. I can send him a message. And he'll send me some money. No, God is cutting off people. God is cutting off people. People who are deceitful. People who are deceitful, trying to run games on God that God can't see. God see all things, know all things, and can do all things. But folks sometimes forget that he is the sovereign Lord, that he is the supreme God, that he sits high and sees low, that he knows all. His eyes are wider than the earth. He sees around the whole universe, the God that we serve. We forget that. We think that he is some little man. Some little man that can only see as far as his eye allows him to, but no, he's God. He's God. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden? God saw them. He knew where they were. But he came in and gave them an opportunity to make themselves be honest before him. He said, Adam, where art thou? Because in the cool of the day, God would come by and have conversation. He would come by and and fellowship with Adam in the cool of the day. God would come by. If you're available, God would come by and talk with you. If you spend time with God, he'll come by, and God set the time. He set the time to be with us. He said, well, we're going to have the blow talk ready at 11:30. 12 o'clock, I'm somewhere else. I don't have anybody preaching. I don't sell anybody. So God said, well, I'm going to give you a job to make some money. No, the first thing I got to do is I got to plan to get somebody to preach first before I endeavor to go to do the job. If not, I said, well, you know what? I'm going to go over there and talk to the people. I've come back. I'm going to turn Blog Talk on because this is what God wants done. Not what David planned to do. This is what God wants done, and I have to adhere to what God said. He's my commander. He's my commander-in-chief. He's my president. He's my general. He's my everything. So I have to follow his instructions. If I don't follow his instructions, what do? He'll kick me out of the group. He'll kick me out. He'll put somebody else. Somebody else, come on, take up Blog Talk Radio. It don't have to be this Blog Talk Radio, but another Blog Talk Radio that will do the same thing that he wants done over here. So we got to put this word out that when people hear it, that it makes sense to them, that they have to make a decision to live holy. Because God is looking for holy people, not a rich people, not a wise people, not a beautiful people in their natural appearance. He's looking for people with a beautiful heart, a mind to serve him, a mind to live for him, a mind that even if they fall down, they get back up and they repent, they bust themselves off and say, Lord, don't allow me to do this again. Please, Lord, I know I come up short. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Wash me. Make me whole again. The Bible says that though it sends me a scarlet, it should be white as snow. Hallelujah. This is what the Bible does. This is what God does. He cleans you up. You can never sin so much that God can't deliver you. There's no sin that he can't deliver. The only one he will deliver is that you curse, blaspheme the Holy Spirit. That's a no-no. Hallelujah. And listen to what he says. The eyes of all look to you in hope. You give them their food as they need it. Everybody has to look to God. Hallelujah. Even them rich folk that got all that money and all those businesses that they can have a lot of people and they sit up like they're the big honcho. Oh, this is my business. They work for me. They do what I say do. No, this is how the rich folk does. The entrepreneurs. And now the black folk, the African Americans and people of color, they get so stupid now. Yes, I said stupid. Once they get a few dollars, they forget everybody that they've been to school with. They forget family members. They forget their friends, their loved ones, you know, because they believe that they have arrived. The devil told them, you don't need those people. You got it all. I have blessed you with everything that you need. And then the devil come for them and say he want their soul. Take them up in helicopters and run them into trees and all this kind of stuff the devil do to them. You hear me today? This is all Satan take them out. They go after money. You understand what I'm saying? They're going after the money. The money is what makes them the big honcho. While their soul is an open target for Satan. You hear what I'm saying? They're going after gold and silver. But their soul is an open target. Not even a bulletproof vest can stop Satan from taking their soul. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world? No, he said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Lord, glorify the Father which is in heaven. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. Let your works say, it's all about letting him, your your light shine. Hallelujah. But he says in the book of Matthew, what will it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what can you give in exchange for your soul? See, we're trying to get everything. We're trying to get everything out of this world. Hear what I'm saying? The more we get, the more we want. So, I want more of this. I want more of that. Can you give me this? Can I get that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're concerned about stuff and not our heart. God wants us. He wants us to seek him first, to go after him. Get thirsty, hungry and thirsty for righteousness. The more hungry you get, the more God will get to you. Do you know that? The more hungry you become, the more God will feed you. But we are not ready. We are too caught up on the Jeffersons. We are too caught up on the Joneses. We are too caught up. Glory to God. Matthew 16 and 26. Let's go over there. Matthew 16 and 26. Because I caught up that scripture in my spirit, man. And I know there was 16 in there, but I wouldn't see it in the natural. 16 and 26. This is what he says. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. He said, you see, so it's important for us to be focused on living holy, living righteous, doing the things that please God. This same scripture is in Mark chapter 8, verse 36. So you can read it from Mark chapter 8, verse 34 to 38. It is very powerful word. When you see this word, you it kind of calculates your heart. Make you think, now, well, what am I doing? I'm going after stuff that's not going to last. Because Job says, naked I came into this world, and naked I will leave. In other words, I have brought nothing in this world. And surely I can't take anything. They're going to dress you up if you die. Depends on how you want to be buried. If you have money to be buried, or you have to get a cremation. If they bury you, they're going to put on a black suit or a blue suit, whatever color you like. Might put a hat on your head if that's you like to wear a hat. They can put your shoes and socks. May have your watch on, your ring on, your marriage ring on, bracelet or whatever you like that you tell them to wear, put on you when you cross over. And if it's like the country I raised up in, the grave digger would take that stuff off of you before you go on. Take your watch and rings and gold and necklace and all that stuff off you. But the clothes that you bury in, the maggots, going to eat all your clothes, even your flesh. Your bones going to decay in the grave after a while. You came in here naked. From dust you came, and dust you're going to go back. So why are we so focused on getting all of this stuff that's not going to last? Listen to what he said. Let's finish this psalm. Let's finish this psalm. Glory to God. Jesus, have mercy. The Bible says, he says, when you open your hand, you satisfy the hunger and thirst of every living thing. David talking to God. He says to God that when God opens his hands, in other words, you must know that your health and your strength come from God. Your food, your supply. The Bible says he is your supplier. He said, I will supply all your needs according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God will. So he said, every time David told him, he said, when you open your hand, you satisfy the hunger and thirst of any living thing. You're talking about God. The Lord is righteous in everything he does. He is filled with kindness. Do you hear that? The Lord is righteous in everything he does. Hallelujah. He says he is filled with kindness. The Lord is close to all who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. How are you calling on God today? Are you calling to him in truth? The Bible says in John chapter 4, John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. You should know these scriptures by heart. But let's go to the Bible and look at the scripture. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. Listen to what he says. His time will come, however, indeed it is already here. We know the Amplified. When the true, genuine worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Reality. For the Father is seeking just such people as these as his worshipers. God is a spirit, a spiritual being. That's what he's saying. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, or reality. Understand that you're worshiping God. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. This is what David says here. The Lord is close to all who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. He grants the desires of those who fear him. Do you reverence God? The fear he's talking about is not that you're scared of God. God is not scary. He's not like Satan. He's a compassionate God. He's a God of love, mercy, and grace. He grants the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cries, your praise, your worship, for help and rescue them. The Lord protects all those who love him, but he destroys the wicked. Do you hear that? He protects all those who love him, but he destroyed the wicked. David says, I will praise the Lord, verse 21. And may everyone on earth bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen. This is Psalm 145. Verse 1 to 21. The Bible says, let us go to Psalm 50. Psalm 50. Psalm 50. Psalm 50. We are talking today about the subject matter. The topic is, you ought to praise the Lord while you are waiting. You ought to praise him. You're waiting for all these things you're praying for. You're interceding for people. You're praying for people. You're praying for family members. You're praying for yourself. People are praying for you. Wait. I have a co-worker who his son had a very serious case in court right now. And every time I talk to him, I have to encourage him. God is working on him. David is talking to the Lord in Psalm 50, verse 13 to 15. He said, do I eat the meat of bulls? Do I drink the blood of goats? This is God speaking to David. Make thankfulness. Your sacrifice to God. And keep the vows you made to the Most High. David says, God said to David, he don't eat goats. He don't eat meat. He don't drink blood. So people are coming bringing blood, sacrifice, and meat offerings to God. But God said what he wants is he wants you to be thankful in your heart for all that he has done for you, for all that he's doing for you, all that he will do for us. That we ought to be thankful. We ought to be praising him. Listen. He says, Then call on me when you are in trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory. Say if you're thankful for the things that God has already done and is doing for you, you can call upon him. You can call on him. Pastor was praying for her son to get his own apartment. And it seemed like it was taking ever so long. But she kept on praising and thanking God. Jump down to verse 23. We just read verse 13 to 15 of chapter 50. Jump down to verse 23. Matter of fact, let's do verse 22. He said, repent, all of you who forget me, or I will tear you apart, and no one will help you. God says, first thing we need to do is repent. For the time that you wasn't spending time with him, you wasn't praising him, you wasn't glorifying him, you wasn't exalting him, you wasn't thanking him for all that he has done for us. You weren't thanking. He said, but giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. If you keep to my path, I will reveal to you the salvation of God. That's a powerful word right there. Psalm 50, verse 22 and 23. My Lord, I got to write that down. That's a beautiful word right there. Ooh, Jesus, help us. Oh, Jesus, help us. I'll post that up later on Facebook. Yes, Jesus, help somebody. 22 and 23. Now, let us go to another word, another quick word. Let's go to Psalm 51, right next to it. Psalm 51, and David, you know, this is the Psalm of repentance. And David began to glorify God in this psalm. He began to honor God because he knew what God has done for him. When Absalom, his son, and King Saul wanted to kill him, and David had to go and hide in the cliff of the rocks. You know, God lead him to the rocks in the wilderness to hide himself from Absalom and from his son, from the king. But David said, purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Listen to what David's saying. David came in with a heart of repentance to God. This is after David had committed adultery. He had sent Uriah to the forefront of the battle so he could be killed with the arrows of the enemy, swords of the enemy, and he would have his wife. And he got Bathsheba pregnant. God killed the baby. And now he come now to God. And he come in here to God, telling God about his sins, taking the responsibility for all that he has done wrong. A lot of time you want to go to God and talk to God like, God, I want you to bless me. I want you to do this. But we don't come to God with repentance. In Genesis chapter 22, this is true worship here, where you're willing to give all that you have to God. All we want to tell God, God, I want this, I want that. We are always coming begging God for something. But we never come with a mindset to give to God. We find excuse not to give to God. If I give to the church, the pastor going to buy a Cadillac. The pastor going to buy a Lexus, going to buy a Mercedes-Benz. The pastor going to put on an addition on his house. Don't matter what the pastor do with the money. If the pastor decide that he's not going to use the money the way God said to use the money, he got to answer to God. She got to answer to God. Your part is that you got to pay your vow. Would you tell God that you were going to give to God? You give to God. Here in Genesis chapter 22, Lord, watch this praise, that this worship that Abraham is giving to God. God has called for Abraham to offer up his son, Isaac, as a sacrifice. And Abraham took some of his servants with him, and the donkey, and got some wood and a knife for the fire to kill his son, the wood to make the fire to offer a sacrifice to God. And the Bible says that when Abraham got to the place of that God has chosen, he told the servants to stay with the donkey, and the boy and Abraham went up to the place to worship God. Where was the worship? He was going to give his son. The Bible says, "Stay." He said to the. Let's read from verse 1. Let's see. Abraham's faith tested. His faith was tested. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. God called. Yes, he replied. Here I am. Take your son, your only son. Yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will show you. The next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire, for a burnt offering, and set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told the servants. The boy and I will travel a little farther. We will worship there, and then we will come right back. Abraham said this. This is a prophetic word. Because Abraham is speaking this thing in the spirit. Because God told him to sacrifice. Sacrifice means to give the life of his son as a burnt offering. But Abraham is saying to the servants that me and the boy are going to go up here and we're going to worship God, and then we're going to come back. But Abraham knew that he was coming back, but not the boy. But he didn't say it. What he spoke is that he and the boy would come back. Because his faith was in God. If God gave me this son, he's able to give me another son. And he's able to save this son. Because I'm gonna lay him on the altar, and I'm gonna give him up. I'm not gonna hold anything back from God. So Abraham placed the wood for the fire offering on Isaac's shoulder, while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, "Father," he said, "Yes, my son." Abraham replied, "We have the fire and the wood," the boy said, "but where is the sheep for the burnt offering?" Isaac was a little kid, but he was smart. He said, "We got the wood, we got the fire, but where is the sheep?" Because they would use sheep and goat for offerings, rams, for burnt offerings. After Jesus came, there was no longer need for sheep and ram. Jesus was the final offering to God. The final sacrifice for sin, Jesus says. He says, "But where is the sheep for the burnt offering?" God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son, Abraham answered. And they both walked on together. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son. Listen to what the Bible says. Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Yes," Abraham replied, "here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy," the angel said. This is God's representative in heaven. "Do not hurt him in any way. For now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. See, God knows. When we say we're going to give God this and give God that, but we find an excuse, don't expect to be blessed. Abraham didn't withhold his son Isaac. When Sarah died, Abraham was over 120 years old, 120, 25. And Abraham still married to an Ethiopian woman named Keturah. He had 6 more children. He was old. You hear me? He was an old man. In the book of Genesis chapter 25, the Bible says Abraham married another wife whose name was Keturah. She gave birth to Zimram, Josham, Midam, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. 6 other children. Hear me? 6 other sons God gave to Abraham because he was willing to give up Isaac. You see people today, 60 years old, 70 years old, can't make a baby. Even younger. He's an old man. You remember when the first came to, the angel first came to Sarah and Abraham and said that the Lord would give him a child in 9 months from the day? And they laughed. But it says, is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything too hard for God? Abraham was not able to have an erection. Sarah's womb was all shriveled up. She had no eggs in the womb. You understand? But God put eggs in there. God revived her womb. He revived Abraham so he had blood going through his penis so he could have an erection. God did it all. You see it here? He has 6 more sons. This is because he gives true worship comes from the heart, not the mouth. Singing. You seen all these, this morning Lord was speaking to me about this. So many people today, so many worship singers are worshiping God. They claim they're worshiping God, but it's about the money. They're making money. They're singing for the money. They're not singing for God's glory. We want you to come out and sing and don't take any money. Don't take those thousands upon thousands of dollars that they get when they go to them big auditoriums and they have, you see, 30,000, 15,000, 20,000 people come to hear so-and-so. Don't take the money. Oh, say, send the money to Africa. Send the money to India for the poor people. Just do that one time. Kirk Franklin and all of them. And Tasha Hobbs and all those. And Zakil, all of them that haven't gotten awards for their singing. They're getting their awards here on earth, and they're proud of their awards they're getting for their singing. Because they're making big money. They live in big, fancy homes. While the poor is suffering. They say they're worshiping God. Worship God by giving to the poor. Worship him by giving to the homeless. Helping the homeless, helping the needy. That's worship. Listen to what he says. Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Let's go to Psalm 107. I just saw this morning. Psalm 107. There's some scripture we're going to put over here, and after that, we'll go in. Psalm 107. Bishop is not here this morning for prayer of salvation, but their list should be listening. Psalm 107, and we're talking about giving praise, thanks. You ought to praise the Lord while you're waiting for your blessing, while you're waiting for your breakthrough. They are to give thanks to the Lord, praising him for his love. Psalm 107, verse 1 says, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His faithful love endure forever. Verse 8, Save some. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for his wonderful things he has done for them. See, there's always something to praise God. Jump down to verse 15 till Psalm 107. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. See, we can praise him, continue to praise him. Continue to praise him. Verse 31, 32. Look, he says, 31 and 32, Psalm 107, 31 and 32. Let them praise the Lord for his great love, for his wonderful things he has done for them. Let them exalt him publicly before the congregation and before the leaders of the nation. See, you've got to be ready to praise God before the president, before Congress, before the Senate, before the Supreme Court Justice Department, before magistrate, before police department. You've got to be willing to want to praise him. Go to Psalm 107, verse 42 to 43. Listen to what he says. The godly will see these things and be glad, while the wicked are struck silent. Those who are wise will take all this to heart. They will see in our history the faithful love of the Lord. See, we know how compassionate our God is. We know how merciful he is. So guess what? We praise him. Let's go to First Samuel. First Samuel, chapter 15. I did 16 yesterday. So let's go to chapter 1 Samuel, chapter 15. 1 Samuel, chapter 15, and let's look at verses 25 and 30. This talking with King Saul. Then Saul, 24, then Saul admitted to Samuel, yes, I have sinned. I have disobeyed your instructions and the Lord commands. For I was afraid of the people and did what they demanded. See, we have to get to this place. Don't let people control our way of thinking. Don't let them control our way of thinking. People tell you, well, you ought not pray like that. You ought not sing like that. You ought not do that. Don't allow people to stop you from praising God the way God called you to praise him. Saul here is talking to the prophet of God. God has rejected Saul because Saul did not kill all of the Amorites as he told him. He said, kill all the people, even the babies. Kill the sheep. Kill the goat. Kill everything. The horse, the camel. Kill everything. This is what God told him. Destroy, because these were wicked people. This was a wicked sect. They were worshiping all types of idols and stuff, and God wanted to kill them. They became God's enemy. But Saul was so committed to the people and disobedient to God, he did what the people wanted. Do you hear me today? He did what the people wanted. The people wanted him to save them. So he saved them. He saved the best of the food, the best of the sheep, the best of the goat, the best of the camel, the best of the horse. But now please forgive me my sin and come back with me so that I may worship the Lord. He asked in Samuel now, God's prophet, God's most powerful prophet, to go with him to forgive him, because the prophet has the power to forgive him. God has given the prophet. He told Peter, who sins you remit. And who sins you do not remit. In other words, whoever you forgive, they're forgiven. Whoever you don't forgive, they're not forgiven. So he said, Samuel to forgive him and go with him so he can praise, he can worship the Lord. But Samuel replied, I will not go back with you since you have rejected the Lord's command. He has rejected you as king of Israel. See, when you fail to do the things that God calls you to do, God will reject you. You plan to do what you only want to do what you want to do, what the people want you to do. You want to be in sync with the people. And this is what a lot of preachers are doing today. They will not preach against sin. They will not preach repentance so the people can repent and be saved and become holy and live holy for the Lord. And Simon turned to go. Saul tried to hold him back and tore the hem of his robe. And Simon said to him, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to someone else, one who is better than you. And he who is the glory of Israel will not lie." He who is the glory of Israel will not lie. If God said a thing, you can believe it. That's what Samuel says. As he tore the hem of Samuel's robe, Samuel speak the same word to him. God has torn the kingdom of Israel from you. And God does not lie. He does not lie. That was Samuel said. God said it. He said, "Nor will he change his mind. For he is not a man that he should change his mind." Then Saul pleaded again, "And know I have sinned. But please, at least honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel by coming back with me so that I may worship the Lord your God." So Samuel finally agreed and went back with him. And Saul worshiped the Lord. See, Saul wanted the people to see him with the servant of God. He wanted to be seen by the people. How many pastors that you know want to be seen by the people? They want to show off before the people. Exodus chapter 34. Let's go to Exodus chapter 34. Pull up one verse here. Exodus chapter 34 and verses 14. We're talking about you ought to praise the Lord while you're waiting. Part 2. Exodus chapter 34. You must worship no other gods, for the Lord, whose very name is Jealous, is a God who is jealous about his relationship with you. God does not want us, the people who have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, to worship any other God. He wants us to praise him. He wants us to bow down and worship him. He wants us to praise him in spirit and in truth. He wants us to praise him from the heart, not just the mouth. People are saying that they're praising God, but they're doing something else in the natural. Their praise, their worship does not line up with their actions. Psalm 95 and 6. Psalm 95 and 6. When we do come back here sometime this week, we will talk about deception is everywhere. Psalm 95 and 6. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Hear what David is saying. Let us bow down. People today is too cloudy, dressed too nice. They don't want to get their knees bruised, even though most of these sanctuaries are carpeted. They don't want to go down on the floor and bow down and worship God. They don't want to spend time in his presence. They want to come and be seen. They want their friends and the core believers to see how nice their dress is, how nice their suits are, what a good haircut they have, what nice wig they're wearing, all this stuff they are glorifying. But David said, he said, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Let us go to Psalm 132. Psalm 132. Pull up one verse there, and then we'll go to the last Psalm, 150, and put up one verse there, and then we'll get over here. 132. Hallelujah. Just turn the pages here on the computer. Get there. Hallelujah, Jesus. We got to worship him in spirit and in truth. Psalm 132 and 2. He says, he made a solemn promise to the Lord. He vowed to the mighty one of Israel, I will not go home. I will not let myself rest. I will not let my knees sleep, my eyes sleep, nor close my eyelids in slumber until I find a place to build a house for the Lord, a sanctuary for the mighty one of Israel. Hallelujah. David is very adamant about worship. He says, verse 7 says, let us go to the sanctuary of the Lord. Let us worship at the footstool of his throne. This is a sign of humility. Not that we're looking to be praised. We're not coming to be praised. We're coming to praise him. That's what we're coming. Psalm 45 and 11. Let's go to Psalm 45 and 11. And then we are got two more psalms to do. Psalm 45. In 11. We have to get to this place, people, because we got to practice here for what's going to go on in heaven. It says, for your royal husband delight in your beauty. Honor him, for he is your Lord. The Lord delights in your beauty. He calls you daughter. Listen to me, O royal daughter. Take to heart what I say. Forget your people and your family are far, far away. For your royal husband, it's the Lord, delights in your beauty. Honor him, for he is your Lord. How much of us, when we come to time to be with our family, we have neglect praising God and doing the things that God called. We got to get together with family. Go to Psalm 29. We want to get together with family. Want to get together with your husband, with your wife. You say, no, I can't praise. I can't sing. I can't dance. Psalm 29 and 2. Honor the Lord for the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Honor the Lord. Show respect. For the glory of his name, worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The Bible says, this is the last verse that I want to give you today. And I see Mother Grant on the line. Let her read. And then we'll do a prayer of salvation and we'll open the line or we'll go. This is what he says in Psalm 50. This is the key verse here. This is about praise. This is what he says. Let's read it. Six verses. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty, mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise his unequal greatness. Praise his unequal greatness. Praise him with a blast of the ram's horn. Praise him with the lyre and harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flutes. Praise him with a clash of cymbals. Praise him with the loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. Let everything that have breath sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. And thank you for this word that you have given us. Lord, we ought to praise you, Lord. We ought to make plans to praise you, to honor you, Lord God, for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you will do. There's no one like you, Jesus. So that we ask you to continue to watch over us, watch over our family members, and watch over all those that are still walking in darkness, Lord. You said no one can come to you except you draw them. So we ask you today to draw the lost to you, Lord. Heal the sick. Raise up the dead in spirit. Open blind eyes today. Unstop deaf ears. Lord, we ask you to heal tumors, all sorts of tumors. Heal brain tumors, breast tumors, lung tumors, intestinal tumors, Lord. Lord, we ask you to open arteries that the blood will flow freely to the heart, and that the heart, strengthen the heart muscle, that they will pump freely to the brain and through the body. Lord, we ask you to heal colon cancer, prostate cancer, liver cancer. Oh, God, all forms of cancer, leukemia, we ask you to heal today, Lord. Lord, somebody has a growth on their eyes, we ask you to heal it right now, Lord. Heal it right now, Father. Somebody's suffering with ear problems, ear infections, we ask you to heal today. There's no one to compare with you today, Lord Jesus. No one, no ever. You are the only true and sovereign Lord. You're from everlasting to everlasting, Lord. We ask you to strengthen the sick in the body. Those that are sick in the spirit, God, strengthen them. Give them a hunger and thirst for righteousness that they might be filled, God. We ask you to, oh God, heal marriages. Marriages that are falling apart. It seems like all the chips are falling apart. Lord, we ask you to put the chips back together because only you can fix the broken marriage, Lord. We ask you to touch that man that wants to abuse his wife. Touch that woman that wants to abuse her husband, Lord. We ask you to do it today, Lord. And Lord, we give you glory. Lord, we give you praise. We give you honor for your master's name. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on in, Mother Grant, and read if you have time to read.
Praise the Lord. Good morning. Good afternoon. For everybody, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Giving him thanks for waking me up this morning and thanking him for blessing me.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Yes, Lord. And say hello to everybody on the line, and God bless you to bring the word forth. Blessing to everybody on the line. We're Deacon on the line. Deacon, I was there Saturday. I keep calling. Nobody comes, so I had to hang up. They say one person was there, but I keep saying, hello, Deacon. Hello, nothing. Anyway, God bless you, Deacon. I hope he's feeling better because I think Friday he wasn't feeling good. He wasn't feeling good. His throat, you see. They say, trust me one day at a time. This keep you close to me. Response to my will. Trust is not a natural response, especially for those who have been deeply wounded. My spirit within you is your resident. Tutor helping you in this supernatural endowment. Yield to his gentle touch. Be sensitive to his promoting. Exert your will to trust me in all circumstances. Do not let your need to understand distract you from my presence. I will equip you to get through this day Virtuously, as you live in deep dependency on me. Tomorrow is busy. Worry about itself. Don't let tangle you up in it. Trust me one day at a time. Psalms 84:12, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Jeremiah 17:7, Matthew 6:34. May God and his blessing to his word. And praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I thank the Lord for the blessing. I thank the Lord that I get my water bill paid again, whatever, because I'm still waiting on the plumber them with the leak. I call them again today. I tell them because the water bill was $600, which my insurance just paid it. They send me that they paid. I'm just saying, he just keep on blessing me over and over. I'm just fighting out to get my money for my insurance, because the insurance, they want more down and what I get in Social Security. So I keep telling them they got to break it down for me. The first payment, they want more, and I say they don't want to do it, but I'm praying to God that they will. accept a partial payment, and then by the end of the month, I'll try and send them the other payment. I know, because he keep on blessing me. He keep on blessing me, and I'm looking forward for that blessing, for that for them to break down that insurance payment for me.
God will do it for you. You just got to praise him while you're waiting. That's what the message
Amen.
Is. You got to praise him while you're waiting for the breakthrough, whatever it is. Because God's going to do it on his time, not on your time or my time, but he's going to do it. That's
right.
Why we got to praise him while we're waiting. While we're waiting, praise him.
Yes, we got to give him all the praise. It will be done.
Got to praise him. The Bible says that your soul is immortal. It will never die. But as it separates from your body, there are two possible destinations for it: heaven, eternity with God, everlasting happiness, or eternity without God, everlasting suffering. There is only one person in this world with the ability to choose where you're going to live eternally. You may say that person is God, but God says in his word, the Bible, that person is you. Only you can choose or determine the eternal destination of your soul. You may, if you wish, choose heaven now. But if you think you can leave this matter for another time, the choice of eternity before God will have been chosen for you if you die right now. This is where you will go forevermore. If you do not die now, you will still be walking towards eternity without God. Certainly you would prefer to go to heaven and be sure, and to be sure that you will enjoy heaven, this is what you must do. Number one, you must recognize that you are a sinner. God says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Number two, you must recognize that you cannot go to heaven by your own efforts. You cannot do nothing to get you to heaven. Jesus did that at the cross. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Number three, you must believe that only Jesus Christ can take you to heaven. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus did not say he was one of the ways, but the way. He is the way. He is the gate. He is the door. He is the good shepherd. He is everything that makes it possible for you and I, for us, those that call upon him in spirit and in truth, to go to heaven, to receive the gift of salvation. Number four, you must accept Jesus Christ as your only Savior. Some people want to worship Buddha. They want to worship Muhammad, Allah, all these different things. And still they say they're Christian, but you cannot. Jesus says you must accept him as your only Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Acts 16:31. Some may say, I am still young and I can leave this matter for later. I would like to say two things. Number one, you do not need to be old, near eternity, or near death. Number two, the prophecies of the Bible say that Jesus will return again, and these prophecies are being fulfilled in our days. How will your life be on that day when he returns? Think about it, because the only way to reach this blessing, salvation, is a blessing, is through Jesus. Jesus says in Revelation 22:7, he says, behold, I am coming quickly. He didn't say he was coming quick. He said, I'm coming quickly, mean he's coming quicker than quick. You can't even snap your finger before he's here when he decides to come. You have decided, if you decide not to choose heaven, know that you're walking towards eternity without God, under God's wrath. He who does not believe the Son, Jesus, the wrath of God abides on him. John 3:36b. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. See, you have to believe in Jesus as Lord, as Savior, as the one who was crucified on the cross, the one who died, and the one who the Father raised up again the third day. The Bible said that God sent his Son not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And the Bible also, that's John 3:17. And John 3:19 says that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You know, the folks don't want to come in the light. You see, when you come to Jesus, this light of Jesus, the light of the cross, the light of his everlasting life, of his love, will expose every sin that's in us. It does. And every time that we want to commit sin, that light kind of convicts us not to commit sin. So a lot of people don't want to come to him because why? They still have that desire to sin. They still have that desire to do the things that are not pleasing to God. Hallelujah. So they don't come to the light. See, when you come to salvation, come to that place of making that vow of submitting and committing, like Bishop Aubrey say, to Jesus, the light exposes all the things that in us that is not like Christ Jesus. So they don't want to come there because they're happy doing the things that they're doing. But there's a day that coming that the light will expose everything. Everything. There will be no escape. There will definitely be no escape at all. Hallelujah. People think that they can live. Or we live our life, and they tell the foolishness that they tell you today that you only got one life to live, so just live your life the best way you know how to. Well, that's not the truth. Hell is real and heaven is real. There's no escape.
Amen.
It is real. It's real. Peter says, in Acts 2 and 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. See, the moment you give your life to Christ Jesus, you start getting blessings. The moment, you don't have to wait till the next day. You don't have to wait till the next time. That very same minute, you begin to get blessings. He begin to bless you.
Amen. So true.
The Lord, praise the Lord. I was just knowing some things here. You know, updating, but listen, let me finish this prayer of salvation here quick. He says, for the promises is unto you, this is Acts 2 and 39, for the promises is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord or God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation or from this crooked generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowshipping and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And faith came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. They had the same mindset. Now the Bible also said here in Acts 4 and 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one name. Jesus, the Bible said, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were ignorant, unlearned men and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. See, when you begin to speak with authority, people would understand that you've been with Jesus, that you have been touched, you have been changed, you have been renewed, you have been restored. Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, today for this word that you have given us today and for Mother Grant's reading. Lord, we ask that if there's someone today that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, give them this urge, give them the pull, O God. You draw them, O God, even to this prayer of salvation that they might say, yes, this is what I want. This is what I'm lacking. Yes, I have a job. Yes, I have a house. Yes, I have a nice car. Yes, I have money in the bank. I have watches. I have rings. I have gold bracelet, necklace. I have all the nice stuff. but I'm missing the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm missing the love of Christ in my life. I'm missing the peace that only comes from Christ. I'm missing that joy, that uncontrollable love that comes from Christ, that just take completely control over my life. I'm missing that unspeakable joy. I'm missing it, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord, but today, let them come. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, 10 and 11, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believe in him, whosoever. That means anybody, no matter what your vices, what your sin was, if you just believe that Jesus died on that cross, that he was crucified, that he was pierced, that he was nailed, that he was crowned with thorns, and that he was buried, and he rose up from the grave the third day, you receive the gift of salvation, and you'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. So if you want this, and you want the Lord Jesus, I come to you today acknowledging my sin as David did. I come to you acknowledging my sin. I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Lord, the only thing that's keeping me back is the sin that I was living, the lifestyle I've been living. Today I come unto you according to the scriptures, believing that you were crucified, believing that you died on that cross and that you were buried and that you rose again the third day. I confess with my mouth before men and before God that you are the Lord and that you are Savior. And I'm opening the door to my heart. I invite you to come into my heart. I no longer want to be ruler over my life, Jesus. I give my life to you. And I come in with great expectation that you will fill me with your Holy Spirit. Jesus, take control of my mind, body, and soul right now. Lead me in the straight and narrow path. Never let me fall back to the place that you draw me from. And I will serve you all the days of my life. If you said that prayer, I know it was a little fast, but if you said that prayer, and if you didn't get it all, go back and listen to it and slow it down so you can hear it. Ask Jesus to come into your life, forgive you of your sins, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. John 1 and 9 says that he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You might not see the cleansing. You look the same way on the outside, but the cleansing is inside your spiritual heart. He cleansing us on the inside. We look the same complexion, the same shade on the outside. We may dress the same way. Even your dressing changes, but the inside is what's important to God. He changes from the inside. And if you said that you received the gift of salvation and you received the gift of the Holy Spirit, call up a pastor, preacher, teacher and tell him you received the gift of salvation, but you want to be baptized. And be specific about how you want to be baptized, because the Bible says we must be baptized in Jesus' name. Some people say Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But this is that you have to get the revelation. The revelation, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is Jesus. He said, in him dwell the fullness of the Godhead. That's what the Bible says. In him, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, dwells the fullness of the Godhead. That means the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost dwell in Yeshua. You want to be baptized in Jesus' name. But before you get baptized, call your friends, your family, your co-workers, even your enemies. Because so what you want them to know. You know, when I had a friend that we used to get high, we have done some crazy stuff together. I remember playing Russian roulette with a gun with one bullet in it. And he would wait till we get high and put that and spin the barrel and give it to somebody, give it to the next buddy, squeeze the trigger. And God said, because Mike could have blew my own head off. I had the gun in my hand. I'm nobody holding the gun. And God saved me. But he got locked up. He spent 13 years. They killed people and all kind of stuff. And I was running with those guys. But I didn't kill nobody. You know, they killed people. And God didn't let me spend no time in jail, apart from the immigration time. And when he came out, he called my house and says, he said, you should call me Tank or Big Dave. He said, Big Dave, Tank, we're home. I had another one spend 23 years. And when he got out, I said, man, I'm a minister of the gospel. I said, I'm a minister of the gospel. He said, what? You kidding me? I said, no, I'm a minister of the gospel, and I was very serious. You know what? I tell you no lie, mother. He have not called me back since that day. I don't know if he's dead. I don't know if he's alive. But I told him I was a minister of the gospel. I lived in Virginia
at
the time.
And you're not his friend no more.
Yep. You see, so once you get this thing, you want your enemies to know you go down that water. You're going down in Jesus' name. You're dying with Jesus, and you're coming up alive with Jesus. And when you come up with that water, find you a church that is preaching and teaching the gospel. We find out that not a lot of preachers are not preaching the truth. You know, they're not preaching the truth. You cannot serve God and mammon too. You cannot serve God and Satan or money too. A lot of preachers are serving the money. And God, the devil would give them money, the God of this world, Satan, would give them money to distract them, deceive them from serving Jesus in holiness, in spirit, and in truth. So you want to get into a church that's going to teach you how to live holy, going to teach you how to be a husband to your wife, how to be a wife to your husband, you know, how to live and honor your parents. He's going to teach you this. You want to be in a church that teach you that, you know. Hallelujah, glory to God. Don't show the young people how to live holy. You want to be in a church that's doing that, not just letting them come in there, sit down, run around, do with the light, but teach them to live a life that glorifies God. Because without holiness, no man will see God. No man. You'll see him on judgment, but you're not going to be able to fellowship with him. You will be condemned because he's the judge. You know, and I tell people all the time, like, same in the natural, same in the spiritual. Prisoners do not go into the jail or penitentiary before going before the judge. They may go in a detention center, but then when they go back before the judge condemned them to 25, 30, 40, 50 lifetime death. Mm-hmm. He condemns them with the same way in the spirit. When Jesus, we come before Jesus, if we didn't live right, if we didn't forgive our brothers as we needed to be forgiven, we would not be forgiven. If we didn't have mercy on people, we would not receive mercy. If we live a sinful life, we will be condemned. All sin will condemn us, will cause us to end up in the lake of fire and brimstone. Today, I don't care what you're going through. If you just look in your mind, this morning I jump up out the bed, I didn't pray. And I usually pray in the bed. I just want to get the service going. But I had to go back and I repent right there on the Lord. I said, Lord, I know I didn't pray, so I just want to ask you to forgive me my thoughts, actions, and deeds. Because none of us are perfect. Someday you run out the house trying to get to the store, get to the doctor. You forget. You don't focus on praying, but we have to slow down, pray first before we go. I thank God for those that come in, anyone that hear the prayer of salvation, Father, those that will listen and accept Christ. You may not be going to church. You may be going to the church building, not realizing that we are the church, not the building. But you may be going to church building saying you're going to church, but you're not living a church life. You're not living a life that really glorifies God. And you may want to dedicate your life. You may want to submit and commit to God and say, Lord, I've been going to church for 30, 40 years, but Lord, I've never really truly committed my life to living for you. Lord, I ask you to help me. So Lord, today I'm dedicating my life to you. You know? And once you do that, you'll find that your life will begin to change. You don't have a desire anymore, desire to please the world. You know? You don't have a desire to please the world. But you will have a desire to please God. So you live, you do everything. You know? And even when times are going bad, you don't allow the devil to come in your mind and make you act unseemly. Because that's when it gets, as soon as when we are in a financial bind, when we are physical bind, spirit is going off, we get mad and we end up cussing and saying stuff and all that. No, slow down. Take a breath. Take a breath. Say, Lord, I can't handle this, Lord. Remember we did the scripture in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. To come on to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And when we are going through financial difficulties or we have a pain in our body, sickness in our body, or family members sick or on the deathbed, go to the Lord. Go to the Lord. Lord, I can't handle this on my own. I don't know how I'm going to get this money, Lord. But you say you'll supply all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So I'm trusting in you, Lord, and I'm going to praise you the same way I was praising you when I had everything was working right for me. I'm going to praise you now things don't seem to be working right because I know you're the only one who can fix it. And Lord, I just thank you for healing my son. I thank you for healing my daughter. I thank you for healing me, for healing my wife, my husband. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, because you are Jehovah Rapha, Lord. I thank you, Bishop. Bishop is at his appointment. The veterans hospital and apostle, she had to go down in New Orleans to take care of her son. So we thank God for you all. If anyone wants to come on and respond, you can come on out and respond. If not, we're going to pray and close out. And Apostle and Bishop will be here tomorrow and Wednesday, and then I'll come back in on Thursday. Your line is open. Anyone wants to say something, you can say it. Don't forget to vote tomorrow if you have not voted early. And you got to go. Don't forget to vote tomorrow.
I don't vote. I always mail. I mail my own.
Vote. Yes. Well, I'm going out tomorrow morning early. And I'm going to vote early and get back here. Come back here. That's what I'm going to do. We thank God. Thank God for you all. And man, everything going to work out for your good, okay? Just
Amen.
Wait on the
yeah.
Lord. Everything going to work out for your good. He's the same Lord that came true for you before. He will come true again.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah,
he have not forsake you, and he never leave you. So even while you're waiting, just Lord, I thank you. I thank you for taking care of all the bills, making everything right
and
with the insurance company, Lord. I just thank you. I thank you, Lord, because I know you're not going to fail me. You never fail me yet. So I'm trusting you, Lord God.
Never
that
fail.
I already have favor with the insurance company. Hallelujah. Everything going to work out for my good and for your glory.
Yes, it will.
Hallelujah. That's right.
Thank you, Jesus.
Well, since nobody have a word to say, I see Deacon is on the line. We're going to pray and close out, and we are going to go in here and do some things. I got to pay a couple of bills. I'm going to go take care of that now. And it's so good to be here in the land of the living. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for Mother Grant coming in and bringing us such a rich word reading today for our hearing. And we ask you, Lord, to continue to bless the Lord. Continue, Lord. She was so grateful, Lord, of all that you have done for her already, Lord. She had to tell the world that she is so grateful, that she's happy, that you keep on blessing her. She didn't say that you bless her. She said, you keep on blessing her, Lord God. So she told us that you are doing it all the time, Lord. So, Father, we ask you, God, to meet her at her point of need, even right now. Even right now, Lord Jesus, we ask you to answer that call, Lord God. God, we ask you to let the insurance company, Lord God, the insurance company don't have no control. You have all control. So we ask you, God, to touch the hearts of the insurance company and let them just call the mother and say that this is what we're going to do for you. And let it be in her favor, Lord. Let it be in her favor, Lord Jesus, that as she goes forth, she can testify, God did it again. God did it again. God I serve, he did it again. Hallelujah. And we know you will do it, Lord. We know you will do it. It's already done. Thank you, Lord. It's already done, Lord. It's already done. And we thank you, Father. We thank you. We thank you in advance for the report that Mother Grant is going to bring back. We thank you in advance right now. We thank you in advance right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Now, Father, I believe this line, but never your presence, O God. We ask you to bless the four corners of the earth. Lord, we're praying for those in Haiti, where the United States send the army down there to blow up all the oil fields in Haiti, disrupt the oil fields, Lord God, so that they can make the world suffer. They're trying to make the world suffer. This president that we have is trying to make the world suffer so that they can have electric turbines, fans, trying to make electricity, Lord, and it's going to get... But Father, we ask, God, that you protect Haiti. Lord, we know there's a lot of stuff going on in Haiti and Africa, witchcraft and voodoo and hoodoo and all that stuff. But, Lord, there's a lot of people that are praising you. There's a lot of people there. Just as much witchcraft they got twice as much people that are worshiping, that, excuse me, living for the Lord. So, God, we just thank you right now. We praise you and we honor you. And, oh, God, as we leave this line but not your presence, we ask for blessings in the city, blessings in the field. Blessing when we come and blessing when we go. Father, we pray that you continue to make us the head and not the tail, that you set us above and not beneath, that you make us the lenders and not the borrowers, Lord. And what you promise, like the scripture says, what you said you would do, you do. And that you're not a man that you should lie. Hallelujah. So all we have to do is, if we read what you say, is to believe what you say and stand on the word. Don't bend to the left or to the right. Don't waver in any way in our thoughts, in any manner. We trust you, Lord God, because we know you said it. We say, you said it, we believe it, and that says it. Hallelujah, glory to God. We thank you for doing for us what no one else can do. Oh, Father, we just bless you right now. We praise you right now. We honor you, we glorify you. Bless us in the city, bless us in the field, bless us when we come and bless us when we go. Make us the head and not the tail, set us above and not beneath. Make us the lenders and not the borrowers, oh Father. Ask you, God, to help us to get some more jobs so we can help the poor, Lord God. We can help the widows, we can help the fatherless, the motherless, the homeless, Lord God, that we can do for do in the earth realm what you call us to do, Lord, that we be your hands, we be your feet, we be your eyes, your ears, we be your mouthpiece here in this earth realm, oh God. And Father, as you do this, we are content to give you glory and honor. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide with us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen and amen.
Amen.
God bless you all. God bless you, Mother Ground. God bless you, Brother Deacon Fraser.
God bless you.
And, have a blessed day. Yes.
You too.
God bless you all. I see. God bless you. See you all on tomorrow if you got a chance to get on the line. Bye-bye.
Amen. Yeah, bye. Bye-bye.